If you've got your Bibles with you, if you could turn with me to start with in Luke 10. We've just been singing quite a bit about casting your burdens on the Lord, and that banner outside says that. And we've all got problems, basically. We all have worries, we have fears, we have anxieties, trouble, problems, more so than others. And life seems to be like that. Sometimes you go from one trial, one tribulation to another. And we've got to cope with those. We've got to battle through. We've got to persevere. We've got to face our problems. In James, it talks about trials and temptations. And for the trials, it says in James 1, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." The promise is there. And that's it. We've just been singing about God's promise. Remember your promise? The promise is there. The bad times might happen, but we've got to push through those, and the blessing will come as a follow. So with trials, with problems, we've got to persevere through, offer them up in prayer. But what about those worries? What about the fears? Now, generally speaking, I'm quite relaxed, quite laid back. It doesn't mean I don't have worries, don't have fears and things like that. We all have them. And I say some people more than others. So I try and be calm. And on the surface, hopefully that comes out, but it's not always the case. It's a bit like a swan. You know it's gliding along, but underneath it's kicking like crazy. It's a bit like that sometimes. But we're all very different. Now, I know Leslie, for example, is much more anxious, much more nervous disposition than I am. And I try and calm her down sometimes. Sometimes that does the opposite. Yeah. Doesn't it? Yeah. But in a crisis, I'd want her next to me in a crisis at any time, because that's when she's really calm and clear-headed. So if I ever get into a fight, I'm going to call her in front of me. Okay, and do it that way. But anyway, but we need to face these fears. We need to face these fears and be on top of that situation. And I just want to read this. Although this isn't about trials and tribulations, in Luke 10, it's the story of Jesus going to Mary and Martha's house. And I just want to start with this because it says... there's the two sisters, Mary and Martha. And where is it then? Verse 38, it starts. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And it's that you're worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. That's what I want to, that's almost the whole message in a nutshell. One thing is needed. That story of Mary and Martha. Martha was really, really busy, really anxious. She's preparing. She's making sure everything's in place. She's fussing about. That sounds familiar to me. I see people like that quite a lot. But that's her priority. She's forgotten what the real priority should be. Now, Mary, on the other hand, all right, she might be doing little to help. She might be lazy. She's shirking work. She's not helping. But she's got her priority on Jesus. And Jesus says that she's chosen what is better. Sometimes we need to do that. Now, I'm not advocating being lazy at all, just the opposite. In fact, the word tells us to do everything to the best of our ability, to the glory of God. But we have to get that priority in the right place. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first, number one, his kingdom and his righteousness." That's what we need to do. Easy to say. I know, looking out here, you all get really worried. You've all got pressures, you've all got troubles, and it's easy to say, but it's not so easy to do, to put aside all these worries, these fears and anxiety. And we're often weighed down by our troubles and our fears. Now, we're going to have troubles. There's no escape from those, okay? There's no escape. But what I want to do today is just encourage you. We're going to fight through some of these in a minute. John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Job's done, okay? He's overcome the world. We know that by his sacrifice on the cross, by the cleansing of his blood. And for those who believe, for us who believe and call upon his name, we have salvation. We have that hope of eternal life in heaven with God, with Jesus. So if we're saved, we should be joyful. It says, be joyful, rejoice in all things. Not possible. Right? I know we try, but things get on top of us sometimes. We should be joyful. But it isn't always like that. We do have these fears, these anxieties and worries. But believe it or not, most of our worries never come to actually happen. They actually don't. And apparently, something I was reading, it says most of our fears, about 95% of them never come to really happening. So we worry, 95% of it is a waste of time. Waste of time. The American author Mark Twain, one of his quotes was, I've been through some horrible things in my life. And then he adds, a few of which actually happened. Most of it was in there. And that's where it all starts. Most of our lives, most of our fears don't actually worry. We have this word, what if? What if this happens? What if it doesn't? Right? It depends on your point of view. It's that glass half full, half empty. That one's full. Right. Depends on your point of view. When the glass is half empty, pessimistic. When it's half full, optimistic. I'm trying to get us to be more optimistic. We worry, what if we make mountains out of molehills, it says. Make it bigger than it really is. Or the devil makes mountains out of molehills quite often. We exaggerate the consequences, our mind, our imagination. Makes things worse than it probably will be. Doesn't mean we're going to be saved from trouble. Right? And I want to look briefly at Jesus' teachings on worry. And it's quite simple. He says, don't worry. Right? If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. We'll have a quick look what he says. And it's easy to read this, but it's difficult to put into practice because we all worry. But he says in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? In fact, I think research shows just the opposite. By worrying, it can actually reduce the length of your life. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? I'll say that again. That's Norfolk speak, isn't it? It's almost backwards. It's like Yoda. Will he not much more... Will he not much... Yeah, okay. Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Okay? But seek first, this is it, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. If you quickly turn to Luke, I'm not going to read this now, because I don't want to take time, but in Luke 12, verse 22 to 31, it essentially says the same thing. It's all about do not worrying. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Right? Life's more than food. Right? It gives some different examples. It says, consider the ravens. They don't sow or feed, but God feeds them. We're more valuable than birds. We can't add an hour by worrying. The lilies of the field again. And he's basically saying, all these things will be given unto you as well if we seek first his kingdom. That's the key. That's the key. And sometimes when you're worried, it gets all on top of you. And what I want to encourage you to do is turn to this. Right? The antidote for worry is in these pages, very, very clearly. And I was looking through them. I've gone through quite a lot of scriptures this week. And some of them, they just lift you up straight away. They just lift you up. 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all, yeah. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. I can't do that. I don't know about you. But the word says, don't be anxious about anything. Right? Luke 12:6 and 7. It says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. God knows all about the sparrows. He loves them. Right? But we're much more valuable to God than any sparrows. And it goes on, indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. I sometimes worry about that one. No. But don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And in Matthew 10, that sentiment is echoed there. Yeah. Then that banner outside we put up yesterday, as it says there, it says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Will give you rest. There's a promise there. And it continues in Matthew 11, verses 29 to 30. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We've got to be like Jesus. We've got to copy him, imitate Jesus. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, it's very clear. Don't worry. Hand it on. Cast all your burdens on the Lord because he cares for you. And what I'd like us to do now, in the tables that we're in now, is just a very brief prayer time to cast your burdens. What fears have you got? Share it if you can. Okay? So just lean across the table. Have another cup of tea, have another cup of coffee, grab another biscuit while you're doing it. That's fine. Okay? Not much movement. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. It's these worries, these fears that get us down. I'm not saying that we won't have troubles. We will. But sometimes the worry, the fear, the anxiety makes it appear and makes it feel lots worse than it could be. So I'm not saying don't ignore things at all. We can't sweep them under carpet or under the carpet. Sometimes we've just got to fight these worries, these fears, these anxieties. And there's only one way to fight them effectively, and that's with faith. We've got to have the faith to fight them. And in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is being very sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We've got to put our trust, totally trust in God, have our confidence in God. And as we were singing earlier, we've got to hold on to his promises. God's made lots of promises for those who believe. I just want to look at some of those promises. These are, if you're a fearful, worried, anxious person, if you're going through troubles right now, these are some of God's promises. And when he promises, he doesn't take them away. Occasionally, some promises are conditional. If my people do this. But most of them are there. Isaiah 41:10. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Right? Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will. That's a promise. Right? I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Yeah? Psalms is full of references. Just a few of those. Psalm 13, verse 5. This is what we've got to do. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. God loves us, right? And he rejoices that we're saved. Okay, Psalm 23, perhaps the most famous psalm of all. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That must be the worst place to be. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. And then this wonderful, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I remember doing a little line dancing to that verse, Psalm 37, verse 4. I'm not doing it there. Yeah. Okay. Psalm 55, 22. Cast all your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. These are promises. These are some of God's promises. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, and he is mighty to save. He's above and beyond any of our problems. He's bigger than all our problems, which I'll talk about later. Jesus, in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's Jesus, he's commanding us. Peace is in your life. It's there. He's given it to us. Jeremiah 29:11. Again, we worry about the future. Don't. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." We may be going through difficult times now, and you think, "God, what is this in your plan?" But don't worry, there is a plan. He has a plan to prosper us and not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future. And in one of those songs we were singing, this verse crops up, Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can stand against us? Doesn't matter what comes against us. If God is for us, nothing can stand against us. Hebrews 13:5-6. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Nothing. We're safe. And if you've got your Bibles, if you just read within Philippians 4-7. It's very difficult. When you're going through trials and tribulations, it's difficult to stay joyful or be joyful. But it says there, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Yeah. I will say it again, rejoice. Just in case you didn't hear it first time, I will say it again, rejoice. It says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer," which is what we've been doing, "and petition," which is what we've just been doing, "with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now, when I first came to believe in Jesus as my Lord and Saviour, I didn't know that verse. But when I read it, I thought, I know that. That peace that transcends all understanding, I'd receive that. Because all worries are gone. You know your future's set. It's done and dusted. It's done. Right? And Philippians 4:9 carries on. It says, "And the God of peace will be with you." I felt that from the moment I believed. From the moment I gave my life to Jesus, I felt that peace. Knowing, I know where I'm going. Right? I don't know where I'm going tomorrow. I don't know where I'm going this afternoon. Right? But I know where I'm going in the end. And that's the main thing. That's the main thing. Okay? And we can do everything through him who gives us strength. Everything. Philippians 4:13, it says that. And we've got to encourage each other. Encourage. We need to encourage one another. It makes a big difference if you encourage somebody. Proverbs 12:25, it says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, weighs a person down. But a kind word cheers him up." And we need to take encouragement from the word. It's there. It really does encourage. The remedy for anxiousness is in those pages. And the Apostle Paul, almost all the letters he wrote, he put in great big chunks of encouragement in each of his letters to the churches in the New Testament. It was always full. He encourages people to stand firm, to keep meeting, to keep praying, to be thankful, to be joyful, to rejoice in all things. And some of those encouragements come out. And they're not just for those churches now. They're for this church here and any church. Any church that believes and has Jesus as the head, these promises are there. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Not by what we do. Right? It's not by might, not by power. It's by the Holy Spirit, by your spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Right? That changes your attitude all the time. Instead of something being, "Oh, I don't fancy doing this," go at it with the glory of God in mind. Do it all for the glory of God. And it changes it. Changes it all around. Right? And when we are in troubles, when we're afflicted, that verse in Romans 12, it says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, patient, faithful in prayer." Don't pray for patience, because God will make sure you... Yeah, okay. Although do pray for patience, but don't be surprised if it takes a long time. That makes sense? Yeah. Romans 8:6 says, "The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." Okay. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Okay. And we've just been singing that wonderful song, 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, this is God said to him, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And these are encouraging, but even so, I know what it's like. Our problems go over the top and they overwhelm you. And you think, oh God, how can I do this? I know you say, cast all your burdens, but I can't get rid of them. I can't hold on to them. But I just want to encourage you. God is bigger than whatever problem you've got. He's bigger than all of that. He's bigger than your health problems. He's bigger than cancer. He's bigger than depression. He's bigger than relationship problems. He's bigger than stress. He's bigger than our finances. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And he's bigger than all of these. So we can give them to him. Give your problems to God. Give them to him. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, right? So that we may find mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Mercy and grace in our time of need. That's what we want. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you always. Trust in him, that the Lord will guide yours. He will satisfy your needs. This bit doesn't apply now. In a sun-scorched land, it was, in a sun-scorched land. And will strengthen your frame, your physical body will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. I look at our garden and it's not well-watered, is it? Better than it was, true. But it'll come back. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, be joyful always, always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will to be joyful. And then it adds, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Let the Spirit control you. Romans 8:28. Again, another one that I rest on. When things aren't going right, you think, oh God, why is it all going wrong? But Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Amen. Yeah, so all our fears, all our worries, all our... give it to God. Cast all your burdens on the Lord. Lay it at his feet. Trust in him and have confidence that the Lord will do it. Yeah? Psalm 56:3 says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Yeah? And the biggest fear? Probably death. Our biggest fear. The fear of death, that's gone. The fear of death has been crushed, taken away, because God loves us. He's taken that away. And through Jesus' death and resurrection, death has been defeated. Yeah? 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. It's gone. Right? 1 Corinthians 15, it carries on in 54. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And then it quotes that, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Job's done. So even this fear of death has gone, right? Because we're promised an eternal life through Jesus. And John 3:16, right? We know that. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We've got eternal life, right? So don't let your fears go from molehill size to mountains. Don't let them get there. Yeah? God's bigger than all our situations. Don't let your mind, don't let your imagination stir up your problems. Now, we will have problems, but don't let them get bigger than they ought to be. And don't let them take over your life and worry you, right? Because some of them won't even happen. But trust in the Lord always. Okay? And then, just coming to a close, if we turn to Isaiah 40, and it's verse 28 to 31, it says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's a promise, God's promise to us. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Okay. Jude 21 says, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. We're on a journey. We're going to eternal life. And we need the mercy of Jesus to bring us to that eternal life. And then finally, the last bit I looked at was in Revelations, because this is how it's going to end. Right? Revelations 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's what we're waiting for. That's the hope we have now. That's the hope that we'll have tomorrow and the day after and the day after. That's the hope that will bring us through all our problems and situations. That's the hope that hopefully, will release your anxieties, your fears and worries. Because Jesus has done it for us. We will have trials now and he'll help us through those trials. But trust in him. Trust in him. Cast all your burdens on the Lord because he cares for you. He cares for you. He really does. I'm going to finish there. I'd just like to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for your amazing love, your grace, your mercy. We know we don't deserve it, Lord. But because you loved us so much, you sent us Jesus. And because he was willing to do your will, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And that joy is knowing that we will come to faith. We'll be with him. So, Lord, when we worry, when we fear, in that song it says, bid my anxious fears subside. Lord, we just want to thank you. We put our trust in you and know that the peace that transcends all understanding, the rest that Jesus promised, is available for us all because of what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.